Welcome to the Captain Paul Watson Foundation podcast. I'm your host, Charlie, and I'm joined today with Rob Reed and Captain Paul Watson. Rob and Paul, how are you today?
Pretty good, Charlie. Thanks.
Yeah, very good, Charlie. Thank you.
So, Paul, we're here today to talk about the upcoming campaign to stop Christian Lofsen from killing more fin whales. So I wanted to start off this conversation by asking you, why are fin whales special and why do we need to protect them?
Fin whales are an endangered species and it's illegal under the international moratorium on commercial whaling for Iceland to be killing them. So it's an illegal whaling operation that's targeting an endangered species, and we have to put an end to it.
So, Paul, why does Christian Lofsen want to kill fin whales?
Because he's a psychopath. I mean, that's the only reason to explain it. He doesn't make any money on it. It's certainly not a business. He's obsessed with killing whales. And nobody's going to tell him what he's a narcissistic psychopath, really. It really comes down to it.
So, Rob, can you describe for us what Icelanders feel about whaling? Are they for whaling? Are they against it? What's the feeling there in Iceland?
Well, when the UK charity started our campaign against Lofsen in 2018, it was pretty balanced view in Iceland, actually. It was pretty much a good 50-50 split. But by the middle of last year, the polls were clearly showing that Iceland had turned into an anti-whaling nation. Even the most sort of conservative polls had a sort of 65% against whaling. But following on from what Paul was just saying about Lofsen, you know, it's very tricky to go up against that individual. Like he kills whales as a hobby because he is a very, very stubborn rich man who I think sees himself as upholding his sort of family business. Although he's only second generation whalers, his father who started the business, but he seems to cling on to the past and is determined to keep killing whales, despite the fact that he actually loses money by doing so. But then the amount of money he is losing is just pocket change to the man who is most of the time Iceland's richest individual and so well connected in politics as well.
So last year, we set out to stop Lofsen from killing whales. And Paul, can you explain how last year went and if we, you know, how successful we were in that endeavor?
Well, when we arrived in Icelandic waters with the John Paul de Jure, that very day, the Icelandic Minister of Fisheries called for an imposed temporary ban on whaling, which shut down whaling at least until the end of August. So we showed up and then we had to leave because there wasn't really anything to do. We were going to come back at the end of August, but because of our interventions in the Faroe Islands, the Danish government put pressure on Jamaica, which stripped us of our flag. And because we were flagless, we couldn't return to Iceland. So it took us another month after that before we were reflagged. And in the meantime, Lofsen killed, I believe, 24 whales.
So, Rob, can you describe for our audience the Icelandic politics involved with Lofsen potentially getting permits to kill more whales in 2024? Is he likely to get another permit from the government, or is that still up in the air?
Well, it is up in the air at the moment with only sort of 2 months to go, or just over 2 months to go until the traditional start of the Icelandic whaling season. And actually, there's a lot of upheaval in Icelandic politics at the moment as well, because the Prime Minister, who is Green Party and anti-whaling as well, is quitting her post to run for president. Svandis, the Minister of Food and Fisheries, who put the two-month suspension on whaling last year, has suddenly been moved to the Ministry of Transport and Infrastructure. And so we have a new minister for the Ministry of Food and Fisheries, who is still left Green Party as well, So should be anti-whaling. However, what we're hearing at the moment is, and what the former Prime Minister said as well, is that they've appointed a committee to look at whaling and how that affects Iceland's commitments to sort of their international commitments, obligations to treaties to do with the environment and climate change and everything else, which is a roundabout way of also tackling the whaling issue. But with so much upheaval in Icelandic politics right now, and still the potential for the downfall of the actual government and elections this year, it's really up in the air. And the big problem is that the two largest donors to the Independence Party in Iceland are Kristinn Loftsson and the Whaling Company. So he has not only lots of contacts in politics, but he's the major funder of one of the major parties as well. So anything in Iceland can change very rapidly. So we have not as much faith as we did have in the Icelandic government shutting down Lawson than we did even last year. So I think, that's even more reason to have a very direct, very active, very prominent campaign against him in 2024.
Can you, Rob, also describe the role of the Icelandic Food and Veterinary Authority? Because my understanding was last year that they were on the ships monitoring the hunt for the fin whales. And one of the lines that they put in one of their reports was that they didn't think that there was, a way to kill the whales humanely. Do they have a role going forward in all of this, or have they done their report and that's that?
No, this is an ongoing thing that even if Lofsen is granted a permit, we believe there'll be possibly even stricter conditions on it, and he'll still have an inspector aboard each of his vessels. Now, that sounds like a very technical thing that Mars has been doing, but it really is as simple as putting one person aboard who's been filming on their phone. This is very low tech monitoring. But it has been essential. I mean, it has caught Lofsen out. Even when his crew have been behaving like trying to whale as efficiently and as humanely as possible because they have an inspector on board, they have still failed to do so, with whales being harpooned two or three times, even with an inspector on board. And once a whale being harpooned and it taking over half an hour for a second harpoon to even be loaded and fired. So that just shows, if the whaling is done that badly with an inspector on board, just imagine how bad the whaling was before inspectors were on board those ships.
That's a good point. And I also, in doing some research for this, I heard that the first whale that Lawson killed last year took 29 minutes to die. And whale number 17 that he killed last year had a fully developed baby inside of her. It was a female whale. And when they split her open, the baby whale spilled out onto the concrete. And I guess the workers work, very hard to try to get the baby whale out of sight so that video and pictures can't be recorded. Paul, I wanted to ask you, because you've been around this, what is it like when a whale is harpooned?
Well, it's a pretty horrific thing to see. I'm not really concerned about the humane killing because I don't believe there's such a thing as humane killing. It's the killing of the whales that that bothers me. But I think that it's this is something that can be used, of course, to try and keep Lawson under control. But really, we have to focus on the fact that he's killing whales. The whales he's killing are protected under law, so it's an illegal killing, and it simply has to be ended. And our intention is to go in there and to stop what he's doing.
An interesting point too is that the same day that mother fin whale was killed and cut open, about I think it was like 200 miles or something north of Reykjavik, Icelandic veterinarians saved a baby orca whale that had stranded herself. And so, at one part of the country they're saving a life, and on the other part of the country they're ending lives. Why is Lofsen particularly targeting fin whales?
The fin whales are probably the most sought after whale meat in Japan. So I think it's because of the Japanese demand for fin whale meat that he's targeting fin whales. There was another company that was targeting minke whales, but they're no longer whaling.
Rob, I wanted to ask you because I also read that the Icelandic Coast Guard had allowed Lawson to disable the AIS tracking on his harpoon ships. Is that true? Is that something that they're letting him get away with?
Yeah, it's something they've been letting him get away with, and it's something I've written to them about many times. So, their maritime authority, the Coast Guard, and the actual Ministry for Transport as well. Their replies have been from outright lies in response, which I've caught them out on, and then they've gone silent on them. But yeah, it's a very clear regulation that Lofsen should be using AIS on his ships. Not only it's a matter of safety at sea, amongst anything else. He is coming into Icelandic waters sometimes in poor weather conditions. Could be fog, could be rain, could be anything else, and people need to see where he is. He could mow down another boat user quite easily, or not transmitting on AIS. And he has working AIS because it is tested every year just for a few brief minutes before he sets out. And all the Icelandic Coast Guards replied to us was, well, falsely quoting their own regulations, which I actually caught them out on and wrote back, and then they went silent on me. But a unspecified Icelandic Coast Guard officer who was emailing me, who wouldn't say who he was actually saying, but Lofsen is communicating with us in a different way, but and we do know where his ships are, but he isn't using AIS, which is just the most ridiculous response.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Because no other ships and boat users know where he is. So
Right.
how do they know, for instance, if they're on a collision course with
Right,
him?
right. So, and Rob, so if Lofsen successfully gets a permit, how long would his whaling season last, and how many fin whales would he be allowed to kill?
Well, the number of whales depends because there's sometimes a carryover from previous years, but the Lofsen starts his whaling season after Iceland's National Day, so the third week in June is basically when he sails. And even Lofsen has been quoted as saying that his target is a minimum of 140 fin whales. Now, some years his quota fluctuates from 180 to just over 200, depending on the carryover from previous years. But he seems to have this mental sort of number in his head of 140 or more. And that's shown in previous years as well, because in 2018, it was 145 before he stopped. In 2022, it's 148. And it was only last year, the temporary suspension, that sort of really hit him badly. He killed 24 whales, or 25 if you count the unborn dead whale from the pregnant one. And I actually heard this morning that he still has all the whale meat from last year's hunt. He hasn't actually sent it anywhere, so we are expecting him to sail, especially because he's holding on to this meat, and it looks like he's looking to send out a shipment later on in the year from this year's whaling season.
So, Paul, can you tell us what this year's campaign name is for this Icelandic campaign?
The name that's been decided is Operation Ice Storm, and I think it's a fitting name for Iceland, and it is a storm of controversy.
And Rob, can you please describe, because I understand that the logo for the new campaign contains a wolf and a harpoon. Can you describe that a little bit for us and give us the background behind that?
Well, hopefully the logo will be quite self-explanatory when it goes up on the press releases. But yes, The logo itself, of course, features a whale, but it features Fenrir from Norse mythology. And Fenrir has grabbed hold of one of the harpoons from Lofsen's ships in his mouth. So he's basically stolen the harpoon. But the logo also has Kvala 8, Whale 8, the whaling ship, on it, and also the Icelandic version of Ice Storm, which is Istormr. So it's a very obvious logo that this is going to be a direct action campaign to stop these harpoons being shot into the backs of innocent fin whales.
So, Paul, as you head into Operation Ice Storm, what are some of the challenges that you're going to face to stop Lawson this year?
Well, the Jean Paul de Joria has to stay outside of the 12-mile limit, and the bay that the Lofsen comes out with his ships is about 50 miles across. So we need to be able to track the whaling ships as they exit the bay, so that we can intercept them.
And Rob, can you describe, without obviously giving anything, important away, what the role of the Captain Paul Watson Foundation UK will be, with Operation Ice Storm?
We'll be carrying on our observations and documentation of everything that does happen at the whaling station as well as we have done in previous years. Now, hopefully, of course, no whales will be brought back at all. But we, in previous years, also track the ships and keep an eye on where they're going, when they're leaving, and so on. And that's going to be vital information as well for the crew on board the Jean Paul de Joria. So yes, it's very much sort of intelligence gathering, but even our photographs and our video and our documentation from previous years is still being used in Iceland, both by MAST because we supply it to MAST, whether they ask for it or not, we send off any footage of potential breaches of the law or Icelandic regulations, anything that we can get lost and on when it comes to pollution or health and safety, or anything to throw obstacles in his way. We've always done that. And also any lawyers who want anything to use to try and fight against whaling as well, we supply that information. So we'll be observing Lofsen's activities. We'll be watching to see if when and if his ships sail, and we'll take appropriate action as we need to as well as part of the campaign.
Can you describe, Rob, in a little more detail what it's like monitoring the whaling station and what kind of things the crew are doing there?
Well, I mean, monitoring Lawson's whaling is a 24-hour job. I mean, because you never really know when his ship's coming back, partly because he has no AIS signals. So we have crew watching the coast and the fjord all the time. We have cameras videoing on the fjord as well. But in previous years, when he's brought back whales, we have set out to, well, ever since the beginning of the whaling season in 2018, we've documented every single whale that Kvala HF, his whaling company, have dragged back. We document how many harpoons were used on each whale, where they hit the whale as well, and that gives you a good idea on how instantaneous or not the kill was. And that's the kind of information that we've been supplying to MAST. And it's actually that constant pressure and sending these videos and these photographs, documenting fetuses cut out of pregnant mothers and everything else on the fencing area at the weighing station. That has led to the inspectors being on board at all. Like if we hadn't been doing that, then Lawson would probably be carrying on virtually unmonitored.
So, Paul, how optimistic are you that you and the crew will be successful in stopping Lofsen from killing fin whales this year?
Well, I'm quite confident that if we get the JPD in into position off of off of Reykjavik, that we'll be able to block his efforts. We're faster than they are, so they're not going to be able to get away from us.
So, and this is a question for both of you. So folks listening now that are outraged that whales are still being targeted and still being hunted, What can they do to help the Captain Paul Watson Foundation stop Christian Lofsen this year? What can the average person do?
Well, one thing that we are going to be working on this year, and this is actually coming from Iceland itself, so people who are campaigning against whaling within Iceland. We actually have an indirect sort of advantage as well, in a way, in that the recent volcanic eruptions in Iceland have led to quite a noticeable reduction in tourism to Iceland. So tourism bookings to Iceland are back at sort of COVID levels right now. So it looks like we'll also be calling for a total boycott of holidays to Iceland as well, because we have a pressure point there. And also the new minister for food and fisheries is the previous tourism minister, who has a lot of interest in that area. So she seems to be very concerned about the tourism industry in Iceland. So there we have an extra pressure point that the public can help us with. It's basically, you know, calling for a boycott on all tourism to Iceland until whaling stops.
And Rob, as a follow-up to that, when do you think when will the government, I guess, make a decision on whether or not to give these permits to Lofsen? Is that soon, or is that a month or two away?
No, I mean, the beginning of the whaling season is only 2 months away. We're expecting a decision on his permit within about 2 weeks' time.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. But all the signs are that Lofsen is prepared to go. Rather unusually, he's had workers working on maintaining his whaling station right through the winter, when usually it's pretty much abandoned during the winter. So this very much looks like Lofsen is determined to go whaling. He's certainly been working on all the machinery there, making sure it is fully operational, sorting out a lot of the issues he has with his aging whaling station. And he invested a huge amount of money and time into restoring his two whaling ships last year. So that is not the sign of a man who's about to give up whaling. That's a sign of a man who's determined to carry on whaling.
Well, Paul, ahead, Paul.
He has a great deal of influence with the politicians. He usually gets what he wants. That's just what he wants. So my prediction is that he's going to get what he wants.
And Paul, I take it too that the John Paul DeJoria is getting outfitted and getting ready for this campaign. Are there any needs for the John Paul DeJoria? Anything that we need to get ready in order to defeat Lofsen?
Well, the only thing that we need, and we always need, of course, is funding. So donations to run the ship and to maintain it. You know, we're still relatively small. You know, after having, you know, this break with Sea Shepherd, which pretty much took all of the monies and everything and the ships, but it's taken us 2 years to fully recover, and we're gaining more and more support all the time. So I think that if we are successful, and I certainly intend to be successful in stopping Lofsen this summer, I think that that will give us a great boost to our support base.
So I think I'll leave it at that today with the Iceland topic. But in the future, for both of you, I would love to have another one of these conversations specifically about the Faroe Islands, so that we can touch on what's going on there. And then I plan to catch back up with both of you, let's say after we find out if Lofsen gets the permits, as we get closer to actually launching the campaign in June. So I wanted to thank you both for your time today and look forward to speaking with you both later.
Thanks, Charlie.
All right. Thanks, guys. I want to thank Paul and Rob for joining me today and talking about the new Operation Ice Storm. Certainly, as the Captain Paul Watson Foundation is gearing up to confront Christian Lofsen and prevent him from killing fin whales, we are going to need all the help that we can get. So if you go to paulwatsonfoundation.org, you can learn about how you can help out. And if you are able to donate, that certainly helps us fuel up the ship and get everything going. So Any support you can give is much appreciated. Also, if you go to shop.paulwatson.com, you can see the merchandise that we have, and we do have the new Operation Ice Storm hoodies and t-shirts available. So if you want to show your support for this very important campaign, you can go grab your gear at shop.paulwatson.com. I am going to be checking in with Paul and Rob as the campaign progresses and as we get closer to launching this in Iceland. So stay tuned for updates there. And we'll also be talking about other topics that are important to the foundation and important to the ocean. Lastly, I wanted to mention that this episode is brought to you by Triacus semifasciata. Thanks so much.
If the oceans die, we die.